Good morning and a very warm welcome to you this morning, to regulars and anyone who's visiting with us this morning as well. At the end of the service, there's a cup of tea and a coffee and a welcome smile with some biscuits through in the lower hall at the back there. So please stay for a wee while if you can at the end. Of course, I can't be with you because I've got to rush away somewhere else. So I'd hope to try and see some of you at the beginning. But a very warm welcome. I hope the service this morning is a blessing to us all. The intimations then, there is a retiring offering today as you leave for the work of the church. Christian Aid envelopes, I'm assured they're on the pews. So if you want to take one with you and maybe take one or two for your friends as well, that would be most welcome. Bonnie Leslie, there's a service up there at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it's led by somebody I've never met before, called Brian Murray. You're all welcome to come up. It'd be lovely to see you. I'm sure the people up there appreciate visitors coming to be with them at a time of worship. The discipleship group is not on this Tuesday. There's so many people away that we've decided not to have it this Tuesday coming. The Church Magazine, you've still got a couple of hours left. If it's lying on the table and you haven't got it through yet, look, just get it in, will you? Just get it in today. And Dave's going to be on holiday next week, so you're going to have to suffer me next week again. The Reverend Scott Cameron will be there for any pastoral things that you need during the week. And of course, the puppet ministry is coming along at the end of June. And if your hands are all quite mobile to get into these things, then have a think about going along. I think the church has got about 12 spaces or something like that, and they're not all filled yet. So puppeteers, put your names forward. I think that's everything of the intimations this morning. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. Call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah 61:3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Amen. Our praise this morning to open His Holy Spirit. We welcome you. It's one you've maybe not done so many times before. So I'm going to leave this microphone on and attempt to lead it as well. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let's stand and welcome the Spirit this morning. Thank you. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Shall we pray? Loving Lord God, you who spoke this world into motion, breathed life into each creature, painted landscapes in colorful hues, you are our God. You who bring to us each season light and warmth, rain and sunshine, and within the seed a spark of life, you are our God. You whose love is beyond measure and stretches throughout time from a garden in Eden to Gethsemane and beyond, you are our God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad and distant shores rejoice. Loving Lord God, forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Father, open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share. May our feet tread lightly on the path that we tread, and our footsteps be worthy of following, for they lead to you. Abba, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and saying the prayer he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 6.
Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priest of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. Was a lead-in to the sermon later on about that reading. I wanted to just say a word or two about oil. Oil was a very precious commodity. Not the oil that we put in our cars today, but the olive oil that they had in ancient times. Oil was used in their culture. It was used for anointing. It was used for lighting lamps. It was used for many, many things. In fact, the whole of the Israelites' land and places like that, although we have exiles and although we had destruction, a lot of the invaders never destroyed the olive oil groves, because that was the place that they took their oil and wine and things from that area. They took the people, they took the gold and the silver, but they left people in the land to look after the oil. And oil was a very precious thing to them, as I said, because it was used in anointing people. This is a custom that goes back in many Eastern religions, but especially for the Hebrews, anointing with oil was something that God had commanded them to do. And oil was used if someone was sick. They would be anointed with oil and the elders would pray around them. We see that in James in the New Testament, where he says, go to the sick person, anoint them with oil and pray for them. And even if they're not forgiven, even if they're still sinful, that doesn't matter, because then they'll be given the chance to repent. But oil was also used for the anointing of prophets, for the anointing of kings, and for the anointing of anyone who had a special gift or a special thing to do for God. But it was also a thing that was used for hospitality. And we see this in the New Testament, where Jesus arrives for a meal with the Pharisees. And this is the story in, I think it's in Luke 7, where the woman, the prostitute, is bathing his feet in her tears and wiping it with her hair. And the Pharisees say, you know, if you knew who was touching you. And he says, look, she's done more for me than you guys have. Because when I came in, you didn't anoint my head with oil. In other words, if you went to a party, kind of a wedding or a special meal, the host would put oils on your head and your beard, and usually they'd be perfumed. It doesn't sound a particularly attractive thing to me today to be going to a wedding and getting oil poured on my head. But anyway, they did, and they didn't do that for Jesus. So we can see the custom comes right through. And what I liked about what was in our reading today, where the servant of God, our Jesus, is going to take away the ashes of mourning from our heads. That was another custom, that when you were in mourning, you put ash on your head and you wore a very rough kind of cloth, a very sackcloth. And he's taking away that ashes and putting the oil of joy on our head. It leads to praise. And he's taken away the sackcloth and given us raiments of joy. And that was another thing that the hosts would do. They would place a cloak or something round you as you came in to say, welcome, welcome. And of course, they didn't do that for Jesus. And of course, they used oil in their lamps. And I was going to bring a nice big lamp here this morning. In fact, I've got one in the car for down the road. But the oil in their lamps. The young men were charged in Exodus to make sure the lamps of the tabernacle were burning. And the way that they made the oil was to beat them with a very heavy, heavy press to get the oil from them. But also, while I was thinking about that, I was listening to a song on YouTube. It was called Beauty for Ashes. I don't know if you've ever heard of that song. It's maybe something to look up. It's a beautiful song. I have a copy of it, the lyrics of it here, by Brenton Brown and Chris McLarney. And I shall read that to you just now before we come to sing Give Me Oil in My Lamp, which is a good going hymn. Beauty for Ashes. God of the new beginnings, God of the second chance, your grace an endless river, your love an avalanche. There in my darkest moment, all hope burnt to the ground, that's where your mercy found me. That's when your love came down. You turned my mourning into dancing. You turned my sorrow into praise. You gave me beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Love met me in the ruins of all my past mistakes. Love walked me to the river. Love broke apart these chains. Love spoke a new tomorrow. Opened my eyes to see. Love washed away the sadness. Love came and rescued me. You turned my mourning into dancing. You turned my sorrow into praise. You gave me beauty for ashes. Lord, you gave me beauty for ashes. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. And if you want to walk up and down the aisles when you're singing it, that's fine. Give me oil in my lamp. Let's stand and sing praise to the Lord. Let's join our hearts and minds together again in prayer, and we'll pray for thanksgiving. Let's pray. Loving God, we give thanks for your goodness and love towards us, for the joy of home and family, for the companionship of friends and neighbours, for the activities that fulfil our lives, and for the strength that supports us and the love that surrounds us, both when our joy is complete and when it is touched by pain. We give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the glory of his humble birth, for the graciousness of his selfless life, for the obedience and trust that led him to the cross, and for the triumph of his resurrection and ascension. And we give thanks for your Holy Spirit at work in your church and in our hearts, revealing your truth, renewing our lives, and bringing us to your eternal kingdom. Amen. All right. I said I would lead this one this morning. Okay, before the throne of God above, this is our hymn of the month. And just to make myself useful, I said I would lead it on the guitar. So we're gonna try this one. We'll stand and sing. Would you stand with me and we'll sing?
the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upwards I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. I got the justice satisfied, to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads again once more in prayer. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, and I ask you now for the sprinkling of blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I will be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honor and glory to your name. And I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I proclaim this year to be 2018, to be the year of the Lord's favor. And God willing, we will also experience in 2019 as the year of God's favor. In fact, since the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are living in the year of our Lord's favor. And what a glorious time to live. What a time to be favored by our Creator, our great and merciful Father in heaven, whose providence and love and forgiveness goes beyond anything that our mere human minds can understand. This is indeed a time of the Lord's favor. You see, it's not really about a year. It just means a long, long time. And it means the whole time we have between the first coming of Jesus and when he comes back again, as he promised he would at the end of the age. But notice in our reading this morning how gracious our Lord God is. Because when Isaiah writes the time of the Lord's revenge, the judgment, time to come, will only be a tiny fraction of that time of favor. A day, he says. Not like the long year of the outpouring of his love and grace for humanity. Just a day. The judgment will be short and sharp. Now I think What we've been singing about this morning in the Holy Spirit, what we've been welcoming Him here, He's with us right now. I feel sometimes that we don't hear an awful lot preached in our churches about the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but it's good on occasionally to give that third and equal person of the Trinity His proper place. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is available to us all who seek the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here with us right now. He's out there also working in our community. God isn't at rest. He's working out there at this moment. And the outpouring of His anointing on us, His children, is in the same manner as He anointed the prophets of old, as we spoke about, in the same manner He anointed the kings and our Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples and the early church and us today, is the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we heard a little of the importance of the anointing oils a wee minute ago. The oils of gladness instead of the ashes of mourning. And the oil that keeps our wee lamps burning. We were just singing about that. And when Jesus raised Himself from the water of the Jordan before John the Baptist and stood dripping wet, the white dove of God's Spirit descended upon Him, and a voice was heard proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. In Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in Matthew 17, while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." And of course, in Isaiah, or Isaiah, as some people like to say, in Isaiah, there are many prophecies about the Messiah. In 42:1, "Behold, My servant whom I uphold, My chosen one in whom My soul delights. I have put My Spirit upon Him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Friends, we're living in a time of God's grace and favor. And you know, it might not seem like that to some. Is the world in all its wrongdoings any worse than at any time before or any time to come? Where humankind in the main please themselves and ignore God. Yet Scripture reassures us that Jesus, by His Spirit, the Comforter, will be with us until the end of the age, despite all that, and despite all that the world can throw at us. Because we live in an in-between time, where heaven touches earth, but it's not fully manifested as it will be in the new age to come. We catch glimpses of heaven in God's Word, His precious Bible. We catch glimpses of heaven when we see Christians praying with others, when we see them praying for healing, helping and worshiping, when we see God moving, where Christians are in the community giving sacrificial love, agape love. We see touches of heaven. This in-between time, it's a time to be getting on with it. It's a time for spreading the good news of salvation for all humanity bought through Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection. A time of favor for all who will turn away from the pool of worldly things and look towards the heavenly things, God's kingdom values. Yes, we're living in a time of great favor. God is offering the gift of redemption through His Son Jesus and life everlasting when we're done with this mortal tent that we're living in. You and I, and I've said this before, are God's voice, His arms, His legs, His ears. Through His Spirit, He has bestowed on us certain gifts for His divine purposes. Now, you might say, "Well, I don't have any gifts, Brian." But you know, others would disagree. They would say, "You know, you have the gift of encouragement. You have the gift of hospitality. You have the gift of administration, very important. And every gift is needed to make up that body of Christ. There's some characteristic that we have will help to build up, will help to edify, will help to encourage the Christian family. Of course, that's the idealistic view, isn't it? It's always tempered by those whose cup is only half full. But we need to seek the gifts that God gives us and develop it wholeheartedly, and it will raise up hearts full of praise. You will hear that gifting like a garment of praise, as Isaiah writes in verse 3 of our passage, a garment of praise that we put on when we come into God's house. And Isaiah was given the gift of prophecy. He was touched by God and redeemed by God's servant, as we heard, not last week, the week before, was it, where Dave was saying that the servant came with the hot coal and touched his lips and burned out the evil speech and put fire into his words. His commission to advise the people and the kings of Judah concerning God's ways. Many times he had to speak out about God's condemnation for the king's disobedience. And you know, yet within his beautiful writings, there's great comfort and there's great promise. His prophecies of the coming Messiah are well read, as we know, around Christmas and Easter time. That's when we dig into Isaiah, isn't it? Indeed, the very words spoken by the Messiah come through his pen to us in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And in our passage, we heard read this morning, these are great words of comfort written by Isaiah for all those who were exiled or captured by the Assyrians or the Babylonians, for those bereft of life as they knew it, carried off to foreign lands, assimilated into different cultures, people with different gods. And we heard Isaiah's message of hope that there's one who has been sent to give the good news of redemption once again for the remnant of God's people. Isaiah assures them that their suffering will not last forever, and that their release from bondage will come, just as Moses was called in the days of the Egyptian Exodus. So here we have recorded for all eternity the most assuring and comforting words of Isaiah, that freedom was coming, restoration was coming for the remnant. Now, on a deeper level, this is Christ Jesus speaking for all the world. For us and all those that have been, and for all those that will be, our children and our children's children, a Savior who is the servant of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. You've heard these words before. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus is handed the scroll to be read in the synagogue, and he looks for the part where it says Isaiah had written this, and it says in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim deliverance for the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and he returned it to the attendant. And he sat down. And it says the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Perhaps you would have heard the gasps of confusion and disbelief at the brevity and the authority which Jesus spoke. You would hear the anger and the raised voices as the men debated and swore against such blasphemy as they saw it. This carpenter's son, who does he think he is? Nevertheless, Jesus used these very words to assure the repressed and mournful Jewish nation and all those to come, and for us who may be oppressed and captive in sin, that redemption and release is at hand. He came to open the blind eyes to the kingdom of God, to release the prisoner from the bondage of sin, to proclaim the year of God's favor, like the Jubilee year that lasted every 50 years, when all debts were canceled and all rightful things were returned to their original owners. That was part of the culture, part of the custom, the Jubilee year. In short, he came to bring reconciliation between humankind and our Creator God, his sacrifice in doing so on the cross. Restoration for humanity lost through sin to Adam and Eve. But notice Jesus did not speak of the day of revenge. He stopped before that, because that day is the Father's prerogative to usher it in when he sees fit. That is the day of judgment, the day Jesus signals the end of the year of favor and the beginning of the new creation, the new Jerusalem, the new place of shalom, a place of well-being and peace, blessing and peace. So how are we doing in our year of favor? How is the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, touching you and me today? Are we being like the oaks of righteousness, sturdy, well-rooted in Christ, and strong and upright in our faith? Are we like those trees that Isaiah describes, resolute, unmoving in our love of God, standing up for Christ against all that this world can throw at us, every blast of hot, sour wind that those who hate Christianity can muster? Isaiah talks of the Spirit being upon him, his anointing to do these tasks that were difficult. Most of the prophets dreaded what they had to tell the kings and the people of Israel and Judah. Isaiah was the only one who volunteered, as we heard, "Send me." You see, everything that happened in the lives of the Jewish people was linked to the relationship they had with God. If they turned from God and they worshipped other gods like Baal or Ashtoreth, or they built altars on high places, or they built icons, then they would experience the wrath of God. And when they repented, as Jotham or Josiah, when they repented and they tore down the high places and they turned back to God again, then he would give them peace and success and prosperity, because everything in their theocracy revolved around their relationship with Yahweh. Isaiah prophesied that the returning Jewish remnant from exile, that Zion would be restored and that they would be a great nation of priests. In our reading this morning, a great nation of priests. They would once more lead the world in witnessing of God's splendor for rebuilding their nation. By restoring the faith in Yahweh, the faith of their ancestors, rebuilding the ruins, rebuilding the temple of praise, other nations would come and prosper them. Now, we who follow Christ are priests with our Lord Jesus, who is the high priest. We're priests. Peter, 1 Peter 2, "But you people are especially chosen by God. You are a royal body of priests. You are a nation especially set apart for God's use. You are a people who belong exclusively to God, that you may express the virtues of the one who called you out of darkness, i.e. sin and error, and into his marvelous light, i.e. righteousness and truth." How much time do we give over to that calling as priests, or ministers, if you like? That office of worship and adoration, the office of obedience to go and hold people around us dear in our hearts, our neighbors, as people who by our faith in the Lord Jesus are anointed, having received the ministrations of the Holy Spirit.
All three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are they omnipresent, they're omnipotent, and they're omniscient, all-knowing. All three are necessary in our lives for us to function in that priestly way that God asks of us, to open fully to the dwelling, the indwelling of Jesus' Spirit, so that we can perform miracles, so that we can speak boldly, and so that we can come confidently before our Father in prayer and adoration. We have a Holy Spirit that anoints us with the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith. And it goes on, you know, the gift of healing by one Spirit. Miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, discerning tongues. By receiving the Holy Spirit's anointing, we are better placed to uphold the harmony of the body of Christ, to play our part in building up and edifying others, not tearing down, not speaking the church down, not being full of doom and gloom, but edifying, building up. And when the Spirit is upon us, we can achieve things that we can't do in our own strength. We know that. We say that all the time. We need the Holy Spirit to teach, to comfort, to bring peace, to challenge us, to heal, to prompt, to bring gifts from the Father and power for our words and deeds. All power to our hand, all power to our lips come from the Holy Spirit, working through us and in us, helping to reveal the Father's heart and purpose for our lives individually and for our church as a church family. We experience a softening of our hearts, and certainly for me, a moderation in my language as the years have gone on. Compassion, grace, kindness, and love. Love for our neighbors. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, He sets about making our lives holier. He sanctifies us by helping us to change our mindset over time. He helps us in the process of repenting, turning away from the old life to the new. The fruit of the Spirit is ours when we open our hearts to Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In the hymn we sang earlier, where the last verse says it, it's really all for me. This is how we should be when we are anointed. Please accomplish in us today some new work of loving grace, we pray. Unreservedly have your way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Is that not what we should aspire to in the name of Jesus? Will we find some new grace in our lives this week ahead? Will the Holy Spirit be welcome in our lives? And more importantly, will we respond to what the Holy Spirit's prompting? Will we be heard to say these words spoken by Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me, Brian. He has anointed you, John. He has anointed you, Jean. He has anointed you, etc., etc., to preach the good news, and you personally fill in the rest. To preach the good news to whom, to where, and when. Friends, this is a time of the Lord's favor. Let's not waste the time nor sit on our fences. This is a time to think about becoming a Christian, if that's some kind of urging that's in our hearts today. And this is a time to refresh our faith, if it's been dwindling a little bit. This is a time to put off the sinful nature and seek Jesus' invitation to come into the fullness of joy in Him. The time may be long, and you know it may be short. So let us seek the anointing of our God as His disciples, that we might take the broken world under our wing and spread healing and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose splendor we will shine forth once more into every place we go. Rooted in Christ like oaks of righteousness, priests with Jesus, anointed with oils of gladness, and living with the hope of everlasting joy in the kingdom to come. Shall we pray? Loving Lord God, help us to find that gift you have bestowed on us through your Spirit. Help us to step into that inheritance of grace and compassion that you plant in our hearts for this world and for the building up of the ruins of faith in many places in our communities, where church families are shrinking, services and ministers are retreating for many temporal reasons. Lord God, restore your church here in Stevenson and help us in our anointing to play our part in that rebuilding with joy in our hearts. Not defeatism, but hope for the future. A hope that no matter where you call us to go, we will take with us that encouragement for others, turning their darkness into light. And now, Abba, as we continue in our worship of you, Holy Spirit, touch hearts this morning, awakening that sleepy soul and moving us into the joy of praising and serving you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The offering will now be received. In our prayers for others this morning, we've several things to look at once more. Please remember the family of the young teenager who fell from the balcony in Spain. She was from a West Kilbride family that we know well. Natalie Cormack, I think she was only about 19. And her mum's away out there just now to bring her home. So we do pray that everything goes well with that, and there's no red tape and hitches about getting the young lass home again. So remember, really remember all our young people at this time as they come up to the end of their school time and they come up to all these pressures that are on them at the moment. We're called today to pray for retired ministers. So I'm not going to, there'll be a big list, so I'm not going to actually name them particularly. Although I think David Hebbington that was here, we could remember David. He still comes to West Kilbride Church. He's with us up there, up the road. He was at our concert last night. He was at the West Kilbride Community Choir concert. He was sitting right there in front of me. So he's doing well. Saw him in Morrison's doing his show the other day. Don't know whether he's still swimming or not. Maybe you could tell me that. But remember David. He's a lovely man. Lovely man of God. And other ministers as well. Okay, the list for the presbytery then. That was the presbytery list for today. The Path of Renewal. I thought I'd come a bit nearer home with it. And we could look at Aaron at Lamlash. Ardrossan, Lily McKinnon, and David Clarkson, Stevenson, our dear, some Reverend David Sutherland or other. We could pray for David as well. Pray for his healing, if nothing else. He's got this kind of chest bug thing that's going on just now. Really nice to see him get back to full health in that. And for Crossreach, now here's one that you wouldn't give to someone who doesn't know. Class Farker House in Stonehaven. Or Class Farker House, depending on how you want to say it. Class Farker House in Stonehaven is a care home with 21 residential places, plus respite care and daycare. And we pray for them today. There's a whole list of things there to pray for. Shall we just join our hearts and minds in prayer, and we'll have a little time in there of silence where you can pray for those who are dear to you as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bring before you this morning the things that we've heard about, the things I've read out there, especially for people who are grieving at this time. We pray that your comfort and your peace will be with them, especially for the Cormac family in West Kilbride, as they bring their dear loved daughter back home. Will you be with them, Lord? Will you give them travelling mercies that all will go well in such a bleak situation? And for all who have lost young ones and teenagers over the last while, and for sometimes they never forget it, Father, will you bring comfort to them? Put your arms around them this morning in Jesus' name. And for all those who have lost a loved one over the last while, there seems to have been so many funerals. Father, will you come to them too? Your hand of healing upon them, and your hand of peace and comfort. And for those who are ill at this time, for those who are awaiting treatment, for those who are awaiting results, for those who have had results, Father, will you bring a peace to their minds as well? We thank you for the physicians and the doctors and the people who carry out these operations and healing. And we pray for them a blessing over them as well, Father. And Lord, we called this morning to pray for our retired ministers. That word, Father, I don't know such a thing as a retired minister. Lord, your ministers are called for life. But in their temporal duties, in their running of things, in their daily routine, Lord, we thank you for what they have done in the churches. We thank you for what they still do in pulpit supply, in locum, in running presbytery. Father, we thank you for them. Will you bless them greatly this day in their retirement? We remember especially David, who was here in the churches for some time. Bless that man, Lord. Keep him going. In Jesus' name. And Father, for Crossreach this morning, we remember Class Farker House and all who work there and all who live there. Let them know that your hand is with them, that your hand of comfort, your hand of healing, your hand of peace is upon them. Bless them greatly this morning. And Lord, in our world where people are suffering through war, through natural disasters like the volcano over in the Pacific, the people who have left their homes in Hawaii, Lord, will you be with them as well? And now, Father, in a small time of silence, we bring to you those who are dear in our hearts and our minds this morning, in Jesus' name. Loving Lord God, who provides for us, who brings good things to us, who gives us a roof over our head and bread in our bellies, who brings us all the blessings in this part of the world. We bring our token of love to you now, that it may be committed into your service and it may be used wisely for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to walk with Jesus, Mission Praise 302, but I want to walk with Jesus. Maybe you've sung this one before. It's very uppity. Da, 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 da. So we're going to stand and sing that praise now. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go in the strength of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us now and always. May God's blessings surround you each day. May the peace of Christ be with you.